President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit afaaction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. What a great morning, Wednesday morning, March 19th, and we're celebrating the return of the astronauts who were stuck in space. They were supposed to be there for 8 days. And they were there for 286 days, 9.5 months on that space station. And who came to the rescue but Elon Musk? As President Trump asked Elon Musk, can you go get them? And SpaceX went and got them safely, brought them back yesterday afternoon. And so we, all Americans should rejoice. That was just a great picture as that the Dragon space capsule landed down in the Gulf of America. I was watching CBS or NBC or ABC, one of those, and they would just call it the Gulf because they don't want to call it the Gulf of America. So that we're going to talk about that this morning, and also a great day, maybe not quite the excitement for the country that the return of the astronauts was, but I am sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie Shreve. And she she has not been on the program for many weeks.
Yes, that's correct.
She got sick. She got sick of me. She got
I helped with a new grandbaby. I've been busy.
You've been busy.
I've been busy. But our office moved. Let's not forget about that.
The From His Heart office moved from where we were, half a mile down from the church. Now we're right across the street from the church. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting. But there's a lot of work associated with that. And Debbie runs the office for From His Heart Ministries. And Debbie, it's great to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back.
Yeah? And we've changed the studio
around? We have changed the studio, yes, and I like it. It looks really nice.
So
it's clean. Everything's clean and organized.
Our in-house engineer did a great job in making the table more more Tupelo-like. And
well, that's our goal.
Yes.
Right?
So we were talking about Elon Musk and what he has done. I posted today on X that America owes him a great debt of gratitude. That guy is amazing. The things that he invents that benefit really the whole world, but
particularly the United States, right?
Right.
That's what's even more fascinating in this whole thing is that this benefits our country in such magnanimous ways, and yet people are still griping about it.
Well, it's amazing. They loved the guy until he started to support Donald Trump. And because they hate Trump, now they hate Elon Musk. And they really hate him. I heard Elon Musk in an interview yesterday with Sean Hannity. He said, you know, they really hate me because I'm exposing the graft and fraud and corruption in government. And that's their spigot for all the money that they're getting. And he said, you know, it's kind of a strange thing. If you cut off people's money supply, they get mad at you, said that tongue in cheek. But how are they responding to Elon Musk? They're responding by attacking his dealerships and, going after Tesla. As Elon Musk says, well, Tesla has nothing. That hasn't hurt you. It has, tens of thousands of workers that you're going to potentially put in jeopardy for their jobs if you keep trying to destroy the company. But this was a clip from Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings is the lone conservative on CNN talking about Elon Musk and Tesla and you know, just the insanity that is coming from the left on this guy that's trying to do good things for everyone and to save the country financially from financial collapse. Here was Scott Jennings.
The other night, Donald Trump said these are domestic terrorists. Everybody laughed about it and scoffed at it. That video looks like terrorism to me. I mean, it's obviously an organized, coordinated effort, however people are communicating with each other, to do this to people around the country who chose to buy a Tesla at some point in the past, many of whom I'm sure are Democrats who bought them in the first place, all because their entire political worldview is ruled by their emotions. And that's the American left right now. It is one angry mob after another willing to take things into their own hands, up to and including keying, firebombing, and otherwise vandalizing cars and car dealerships and charging stations. It's outrageous. It is terrorism. People ought to be put in jail and left there for a very long time and be taught a lesson.
Yeah, and that's just coming after Elon Musk just because they hate him because he is targeting fraud. And evidently, you know, fraud is not just exclusive to the left. Fraud goes both ways. But what we see in government is fraud seems to go primarily in one direction. And
well, and it is that direction that's causing all the brouhaha.
Right. Yeah. Well, here is Elon Musk from last night talking about he was talking about the great day, and then he was talking about Tesla.
I mean, it's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of really hatred and violence from the left. I always thought the left, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring, and yet they're burning down cars, they're firebombing dealerships, they're firing bullets into dealerships, they're just, you know, smashing up Teslas. Tesla is a peaceful company. We've never done anything harmful. I've never done anything awful. I've only done productive things. So I think we just have a deranged... There's some kind of mental illness thing going on here because this doesn't make any sense. Right. And I think there are larger forces at work as well. I mean, I don't know who's funding it and who's coordinating it, because this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this.
It is crazy. And as I've said, as we've talked about this before, but it keeps occurring... this is demonic, and the devil is at work. You know, he says there are other forces. Elon Musk doesn't understand spiritual things, to my knowledge, but the other forces at work are the prince of the power of the air. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19, and he's pushing all this because he does not want to see America great. He does not want to see a revival come to our land, and, you know, those things between Donald Trump's presidency and a revival, you say, how would those be connected? Well, I think they're connected in this way, and it doesn't mean that a revival is going to come, but it opens the door for revival when there is tremendous freedom to speak the truth and not be concerned about being shut down, and you can preach the truth of the gospel, and it can go out on the airwaves and that kind of thing without getting arrested for it, or you can't do that stuff in China, you can't do that stuff in other countries, but America, we can do that, and we're going to continue to do that as long as that freedom is there. When you have the church has to go underground, God still is at work. God is at work in China. But America has the opportunity to share that message around the world. And we are praying for a revival to come before the Lord returns.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, if you look at all of this under the umbrella of God's sovereignty, you can see traces of this already. But what men are using for evil, God is using for good. And it just seems that at every turn, what the radical things that the left are trying to do are just backfiring on them, mm-hmm. And God is not going to be mocked. There's coming a time when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And I just find that to be interesting. I was Kind of scrolling through Facebook yesterday, and as you well know, I am so not a social media person, mm-hmm. but I was scrolling through the other day, and someone was talking about the fact that 63 to 68% of Americans don't support Trump. And I, who normally never comment, I actually made a comment on that post, and I said, I'm not so sure about your statistics, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, well, how did he get in office?
Right.
How did he get elected if this much of the country does not agree with him? And I think that's what's just killing him is that the bulk of America likes the direction that we're going. Uh-huh. They want to see all this horrible deception revealed. And I don't know. I just find it all very, very interesting.
Well, it's sad when all the news coming from ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, all those liberal news organizations, it's just negative, 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 negative. I watched one from Rachel Maddow, who's the big liberal, hates Trump, hates Musk, hates anything. If Trump's name is associated in some way, she just hates it. And she was just reveling in the fact that Elon Musk had a rocket that blew up a few weeks ago, and SpaceX just littering Earth with debris, and you know they just you know they're going to jump on anything that that is a negative. And so if you know if you have 100 positive things and one negative thing, their news program is going to be based on the one negative thing. They don't ever cover any positive things. Mm-hmm. And I know it killed them to have to cover the fact that this was a successful mission. And as Elon Musk said, and I would encourage our listeners to go back and listen to the interview, the exclusive interview that Sean Hannity had with Elon Musk. He said, you know, it's not a slam dunk bringing people back from space. He said at any moment, you know, in all these different stages of reentering orbit and all those are reentering Earth's atmosphere and all these things, he said that the thing could blow up. You could have a problem, and the people would be vaporized immediately because the heat is so intense. They're traveling at 17,000 miles an hour. It's mind blowing, and then you're coming down so fast that those parachutes have to deploy right. to slow you down, or you're gonna
right because it was such an easy plop yeah. into the ocean.
It was just amazing. And then they show the rocket, you know, you have the rocket and then you have the Dragon spacecraft that separates from that, but then the rocket comes back down and lands right.
exactly where it's supposed to. It's amazing. Well, you know what I was not aware of, and it this is just probably talking about my own ignorance, but I was not aware of all the physical things that could happen to someone that was in space for that long.
Yes, it degrades your body.
Yes, and what the reentry process does physically to their bodies, as well as just different issues that they have readapting to life on Earth. And it's like when you think about the magnitude of those lifelong issues and problems that those two folks could have had,
right.
and that no one in the previous administration really seemed to care about because they left him up there.
Yeah, it's funny. So I saw an interview with Sonny Williams, one of the astronauts. It was Sonny Williams and Bruce Wilmore that were left up there. Oh, we're not stranded. You know, if they had to, they could bring us back. It's like, well, why haven't they?
Right.
You know, you were supposed to be there for 8 days, and you were there for 286 days. And she was just kind of downplaying it. Well, you know, it's okay. We have food and clothes and stuff. It's like, well, here are the problems of staying in space. You lose 1% of your bone density for every month in space. Your muscles atrophy. You have problems with your eyes. You know, they had to carry them out because they couldn't. They can't walk. You know, you're in that. That environment in space where there's no gravity, and so that's not a good thing. They said one guy, he grew 2 inches in space, but then you come back to gravity, and then that you have the pain of that
shrinking
coming back down.
Back down.
So, just it's just another world that our minds can't comprehend, how people can engineer what Elon Musk and SpaceX engineer and NASA and others, but SpaceX was the one that went and got them and returned them home safely. We should all be rejoicing. And if you can't rejoice at that great feat that we saw yesterday, something is wrong.
Check your heart.
Inside.
Yeah, because, check your heart.
You've allowed hatred for one man to poison everything. And your bitterness toward him and your hatred toward him has caused you to lose your ability to rejoice. That's a big problem. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about SpaceX and the return of the astronauts. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about SpaceX, and we're talking about Elon Musk and the return of the astronauts, and a great day for America yesterday as we saw the Dragon space capsule touch down in the Gulf of America, and the liberal news casters were having trouble saying that. They just called it the Gulf, outside the coast of Tallahassee. I heard that yesterday. So Trump did rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. And some have had fun with the left saying, why are you dead naming the Gulf of America? It's not the Gulf of Mexico. It's the Gulf of America. You are guilty of dead naming the Gulf of America.
I've never heard of that term, dead naming.
Dead naming is what they say when people transition. The trans community. Now I'm a new person. So Chastity Bono is Chaz.
Right.
And so if you called her Chastity, that would be dead naming her. That person is dead.
Very interesting. So, okay. I'm not. I mean,
it's just insane. But we saw when President Trump gave his address a couple of Tuesdays ago, we saw that the left wouldn't clap for anything. They wouldn't clap for the 13-year-old boy with brain cancer. They wouldn't clap for Laken Riley, her parent, her mom, and her sister. They wouldn't clap for what President Trump was trying to do to protect people. They won't clap for that. And they don't want to clap for the return of the astronauts because that's a plus for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And they hate those guys. That's why they're... there are coordinated efforts to destroy his business and Tesla. He's lost $100 billion on paper.
You know, what's interesting, too, about that is the left are the ones that have been down everyone's throat about these electric vehicles.
Right.
and
now they're torching them.
Now they're torching them. It's like, well, pick a team.
Right. It's horrible. I had to laugh. So Tim Wildman and Jenna Ellis and I go back and forth on a text thread, and Tim had posted this on social media. Federal judge orders astronauts be returned to space station.
Oh, dear.
You're poking fun at the fact that, a federal judge thought he could step in and tell Trump what to do as far as governing America and how we deal with terrorists and all that. I think I heard Megyn Kelly say on her program that, you know, he has no jurisdiction to do that. And now he's demanding you tell us when you got this, you know, this order from me. And you said that the plane was already in international airspace and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, as was repeated at with AFN News, you know, America's not going to be ruled by some unelected guy in a robe. We voted for Donald Trump. People are trying to say, well, you know, you having buyer's remorse. Everybody's having buyer's remorse. Nobody wanted this. Well, I did when I voted for Donald Trump. Do I want to see waste and graft and fraud and abuse exposed in government and cut out of government? Yes. Mm-hmm. And if that means dismantling agencies that, you know, are doing 10% good and 90% waste, or even worse, things that work against the American people, of course, anybody would. And if we're going to right the ship, you're gonna have to cut things. If you're gonna fix America financially, You're going to have to cut back on spending. You're going to have to get rid of the waste, the fraud, the abuse. And if we don't do that, we're slitting our own throat.
Right.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, just that with any kind of change, you know, people balk. And so I think, like, one of the things that I had seen on Facebook yesterday was, like, you know, innocent people who are close to retirement or whatever have lost their jobs. And it's like, well, yes, they're going to be in this shakedown. There are going to be people, good people that have worked hard and diligently that aren't part of the slack, that are going to reap some negative benefits of that. But that's a very small percentage. And we have to look at the overall health of things, you know, not just zoom in on just those, that 0.001% of great people that are hard workers that are having negative effects from some of this, you know. And I just think that, again, it's like, okay, if you want change comes at a cost.
Right.
You know, staying the same comes at a cost as well. So you, what's your greater cost?
Right. Well, if you want immediate relief, you know, don't do anything. Don't rock the boat. You know, people don't like it when you rock the boat. But when you rock the boat to better the things down the road, then people feel, well, wait a minute, I don't like this. This is uneasy. Let's just go back to the way it was. And
right.
But you can't do that and get better. You know, right. Jesus said in John chapter 5 to the man at the pool of Bethesda,
do you want to get well?
Well, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to rise, take your pallet, and walk. And the guy had excuses. Well, this is why I can't get well. And nobody's putting me in the water, and everybody goes down before me, blah, 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 blah. Hey, do you want to get well? Well, if you want to get well, and this is true for an individual, this is true for a marriage, this is true for a family, this is true for a business, this is true for a church, you can't keep doing business as usual. Hey, insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. You're not going to get a different result. Do you want to get well? Do you like crystal gel?
I don't know that everyone's going to know that reference. Oh, that's funny.
Okay, so here is Elon Musk. He was on Ted Cruz has a podcast, Debbie.
Yes,
he was on Ted Cruz's podcast talking about Doge and government credit cards.
You've told me about, like, tell us about computer licenses and government agencies.
Yeah, so most of what Doge is finding, you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes. Okay, it's very obvious, basic stuff. So in every government department, I say every because we've not yet found a single exception, there are far too many software licenses and media subscriptions, meaning many more software licenses and media subscriptions than there are humans in the department.
Like you were saying, like an agency with 15,000 people might have 30,000 licenses.
Yes.
and even of the 15,000 employees, a good chunk of them hadn't used the license, had never logged on or used the application.
Yes. We found entire situations of software licenses or media subscriptions where there were zero logins.
Wow. So it had and yet we were paying for it.
Yes. So the government was paying for thousands of licenses of software or media subscriptions, and no one had ever logged in even once.
Or like credit cards. You found the same thing with government credit cards.
We found that there are twice as many credit cards as there are humans.
Could be. That's just
and I still don't have a good explanation for why this is the case. And these are $10,000 limit cards. So it's a lot of money.
Is it incompetence that you're finding, or is this like the biggest money laundering scheme in the history of the world that you're finding?
Look, I think it's mostly, if you say, look, what's the waste to fraud ratio?
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's like 80% waste, 20% fraud. But you do have these sort of gray areas.
Yep.
So example
would be, so we saw a lot of payments going out of Treasury that had no payment code and no explanation for the payment. And then we'd try to figure out what that payment is, and we'd see that, okay, that contract was supposed to be shut off, but someone forgot to shut off that contract, and so the company kept getting money.
Wow.
Now, is that waste or fraud?
Yeah, both.
Both?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, both. It's sort of, if you know you're getting something you're not supposed to get.
you're not supposed to get it, but the government sent it to you, and nobody from the government asked for it back.
Yeah, so Elon Musk on Ted Cruz's podcast talking about what they're finding at Doge. Seems like every American should say, hey, we need to uncover all this stuff, and we need to eradicate it from the government. We don't need to get in our huddle and figure out how we can destroy Elon Musk. As Sean Hannity said, you know, Elon Musk gets death threats on a regular basis. They want to kill him. They want to destroy him. They want to destroy his business. They want to take all his money. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And as Elon Musk said, you know, or Sean Hannity said, you know, if they destroy Tesla, that doesn't destroy Elon Musk. That destroys the tens of thousands of workers who have a job there. They're going after their jobs, and they're supposed to be for the working people. The Democrat Party was always, we're the party of the blue collar workers. Well, obviously you're not. Mm-hmm. And so it's just it's a sad, sad reality. And, you know, if you have, I've said this repeatedly, but the left is not our enemy. They're the mission field, but we need to speak the truth in love, and we need to help them see this is what you're supporting. You need to open your eyes and look and see who's on your team. Because if you're on the team of all the people that have lost touch with reality, that's not a good team to be on.
Right.
I mean, that is insane. And one of the hallmarks of the left, as we all know, is the issue of abortion. And so they love abortion. It's almost like Hamas. We love death more than you love life. That's their motto. What a sick motto. But the left wants to have abortion on demand, no restrictions on abortion. As the governor of Virginia once said, Governor Northam, a mother ought to be able to have the baby, and then if she chooses to end the baby's life, to kill the baby after the baby's born. Just insane. Well, here is Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk was talking to, you know, he goes on college campuses and he engages with the people. Here's one of his back and forth with a woman who is trying to say that a baby in the womb is not really a person.
It's wrong to murder a baby.
You're not murdering a baby. It's
okay.
Not a baby.
What is it then?
It is an embryo.
What species is the baby in the womb?
It's a human, but it's
therefore
an
they
embryo.
Should have human rights.
No, I do not agree.
Oh, so small humans, no human rights. Grown humans,
it's
human rights.
It's not a small human. It's an embryo.
It has a heartbeat. It has brain waves.
That does not make it a child.
The excuses given for abortion is dehumanization. Oh, it's just an embryo. Guys, that's just using different language to justify the massacre of something smaller than you.
Yeah. If I were to be pregnant right now and forced to have a baby, that would ruin my life. If I just happened to be pregnant.
Oh, well, you don't happen to get pregnant. It's like not like getting COVID.
I know how
okay?
it works.
You don't get the flu.
I know.
First of all, babies are a blessing. Stop talking at them as if they're some sort of annoyance.
I will have to drop out of college.
Number two, you play certain games, you win certain prizes. If you're going to go have sex.
So you're saying I should drop out of college to support my child.
No,
I'm supporting my life.
I'm saying if you're going to engage in the practice of having children, you might end up with a baby. So know that. And guess what? You don't need to have sex before you get married. It's not like showering. It's not like eating.
Are you married?
Yes, with two beautiful children.
Wow, good for you.
I could tell you're not married.
Yeah.
Well, that was a back and forth between Charlie Kirk and some unnamed woman who really shows her cards. Well, if I got pregnant and couldn't murder my unborn child, she doesn't say it like that, mm-hmm. but then I would have to drop out of college. Well, that would be a hardship, a burden on me, so I should be allowed to murder somebody to benefit myself.
Well, and to try and eradicate any consequences that I feel to be negative, not knowing that you are going to bear lifelong consequences of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of having an abortion. you know, the Planned Parenthood does not tell you that part.
Right.
You know, they leave that part of the puzzle out completely. And just the torment and the anguish that these women go through that have endured that. And they never forget. You know, we have a friend who has encountered or has had two different abortions, and to this day she remembers that she
right.
remembers that she allowed that to take place, and just the guilt that comes with that, just that lifelong burden that you're having to care, that on the front end they're telling you, oh, there's no side effects, there's no consequences for that. Yes, there are, because there are always consequences for sin. Right. Always.
Yeah, it's, well, the left tries to frame it as this is just a blob of tissue. It's like getting a cyst removed. You know, there's no, you know, you shouldn't be concerned about this at all. Well, it's a total lie.
Well, yeah, because you think about it, you get a cyst removed, but I'm not feeling guilty about that 5 years later.
Right.
Right. I have an abortion, and I know in the core of who I am, I know that I murdered something.
Right.
I know I murdered a human being.
Right.
I have guilt for that the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's awful. Now, here's the wonderful thing, because Abby Johnson posted, you know, she was the lady that ran the abortion clinic in Bryan College Station. Mm-hmm. And they did the movie Unplanned about Abby Johnson. And she came to Texarkana some years ago and spoke at our crisis pregnancy center. I've gone blank on the name. But anyway, you know, she said, hey, I've had two abortions and I ran an abortion clinic and God forgave me. And so if God can forgive me, he can forgive you too. And I think it's really important for people that have had things in their past that are so haunting and just filled with guilt and shame. You just go back to the truth that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And as we trust him and as we truly repent and turn our lives over to him, he doesn't bring those up anymore. He doesn't remember our sins against us anymore. As Corrie ten Boom says, he buries them in the deepest sea and then posts a sign that says, no fishing. We're not going to bring this up again. And so we have something great to share with people, that there is a Savior who loves them, who died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the dead, and will forgive them no matter what they've done if they will turn to him. No sin greater than the blood of Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we are up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, if you just want to rejoice with us over the return of the astronauts by SpaceX and Elon Musk, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call and let's talk. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about issues of the day, especially as it related to the great touchdown yesterday of the astronauts returning from the space station, International Space Station. That wouldn't have happened had it not been for President Trump and Elon Musk, and Elon Musk especially, and SpaceX going to get them. And I read this, Debbie. This was amazing. So it said that the SpaceX Falcon 9 Dragon space capsule, the whole thing, you know, you have the rocket and then the space capsule, in addition to picking up the astronauts, it has delivered 74 rideshare payloads into orbit and added 23 Starlink satellites to the constellation, and then departed 2 days later for a successful return. Just mind-blowing.
Right.
And, you know, Elon Musk, he was the chief engineer for SpaceX. I don't know if he still is, but that guy is no doubt a brilliant person, just a genius on Einstein kind of genius level. To be able to understand all that stuff, you know.
I don't think he sleeps. Do you?
No.
I mean, between all that he does, all the different podcasts that he's on, the interviews that he does, it's like, goodness, when do you, like, just kick back, do nothing, maybe take a nap?
Yeah, you know? I don't think, you know, he gets engrossed in what he's doing. I read where, you know, with Tesla, he was sleeping there at the plant, and I'd sleep for 4 or 5 hours and then get up and go right back to it. I think he's sleeping at the White House, or he was. I don't know if he still is, you know, doing the Doge stuff. He just gets engrossed in a situation that he's working on. I don't know how he juggles all the balls that he juggles. But, you know, here's the thing. I like Elon Musk, and I admire him greatly. He needs Jesus, because all the things, all the great things that you do, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing's worth your soul. So we want those guys, as we want everybody, to come to know Christ in a real life-changing way so that they can experience salvation. And the real problem in our world is not hunger or homelessness or what. It's a disconnect from God, and that's the thing that is going to last for all eternity if you stay in the disconnected state. As in Adam, all die, so as in Christ, all shall be made alive.
Well, and we have just, culture has been deceived into thinking they can be their own God. You know, I mean, that started way back in Genesis.
Right.
You know, that level of deception started way back then. And, you know, when people drift away from the truth of God's word and they say, no, I don't even believe that's true. I'm going to pick and choose out of that book what I want to believe because it's based on what I feel at the moment. You know, how can a loving God do X, Y, and
right.
Z, you know?
It becomes like a cafeteria.
Right.
Well, I like
mm-hmm.
this part of what it says, so I'll take that.
Right.
But I don't like the rest of it.
Right. And so it just sets you up to have this this idea in your mind that you know better than God, that you can pick and choose, and that you can run your life better than he can, and you can follow your own rules, and there won't be any consequences for it. And then you blame God when you suffer consequences.
Right.
You know, that's what I see over and over again, is that when you break God's law and the punishment consequences come from it, because there always will be consequences, then people have a tendency to blame God for the consequences.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have David on the line from Arkansas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Jeff, and really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
A couple of things. One, you know, there's a phrase that we Christians say from time to time, you know, I covet your prayers. And why do we say that? Because God tells us not to covet.
Yes. Okay, so good question. I try not to say that because of that main reason, because it's like, well, it says you shall not covet, the 10th commandment. Well, to covet means to desire, to take pleasure in, to delight in. So you shall not covet your neighbor's spouse, your neighbor's house, anything belongs to your neighbor. So don't take a delight in or desire to have those things. But from the standpoint of saying I covet your prayers, that means I delight in your prayers, I take pleasure in your prayers, I desire you to pray for me. And that's what they mean by that.
I understand that, then. And the other thing I wanted to make a comment on, I worked for a couple of companies over the years, and I was even in the military. And, you know, when you downsize, for whatever reason, good people get let go. And
yes.
We're trying to downsize our government, and, you know, I could be the best worker in the world, but my job is no longer needed. So, you know, sorry, but here you go. Here's a severance package. Sometimes you don't even get that, but, you know, you need to leave. And I just don't understand why people are thinking, well, it's government. You can't just let people go. It's like it should be like any other business. If
right.
you don't need the people, if it's a redundancy, like you and I have the same job and we're looking to cut costs, well, one of us has to go, you know? And it's like, it goes back to being a demonic thing, I think, more than anything else.
Right. You're exactly right. You know, I have friends that are potentially on the chopping block that work hard. They're not into waste, fraud, and abuse. They're doing their jobs. Working, this one friend I have works for the VA, and she's very concerned. And my heart goes out to people like that. But that's part of life. You know, you have good workers that work for a company that goes broke and that everybody has to be laid off or they're having to cut back or whatever. Those things happen, and I maintain this, and as my boss when I was at Nalco Chemical Company said this, and it's really true, there's always a place for good workers, good employees, good, responsible, hardworking, diligent, intelligent people. They can get a job because their companies need people like that. So we wish those people well. But at the same time, they have to be able to step back and say, hey, this is for the good of the whole. And life can't just be about what is good for me. It has to be about what is good for the masses. And so I appreciate the call, David. Well, we have a call from my good friend Darcy from Texas. Darcy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and beautiful Debbie. How are you
guys
doing?
Hey, Darcy.
Yes, I wanted to kind of mention about the, it really hit home when you said the left, not our enemy, but they are our mission field. And given the landing of the saving the astronauts and bringing them back and really putting Elon Musk on the top of the latest layer of the cake as far as our ingenuity. Yes, that's so true, and he gets all the kudos that's going on right now. And so here comes the but. But when I over 30 years ago, I met my wife and I was just a high school guy and worked on cars and worked in the oil field kind of thing. And I met my wife, and she was basically a science engineer for NASA. And every day since then, I see her come home, and she works really hard, just like the last gentleman said about the hard workers. They get stuck there. And we watch the news, and we see all the stuff from Elon Musk. But Linda, she raised her flag. She says, you know what, that's great, you know, but it must be hard. I can't get inside the hard workers at NASA, and when they hear the stuff that's going on from the cancer as far as the government that's getting inside the program, that's just kind of spoiling the whole thing. But when she comes home, I know that she's doing her job, and she's doing her job for the Lord, and she's doing her job trying to make a difference to do the best that she can and to keep the attitude. I just envy her to keep the attitude that she has for working on a program like that. But I just wanted to say publicly that I love her and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we appreciate all those folks that are working. And Elon Musk tipped his hat to NASA. You know, this was a coordinated effort. But, you know, those entities shouldn't, it's not like they're rival teams. You know, they're working on the same thing together. So, Darcy, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening and always being an encourager. We have Mark on the line from Kentucky. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you taking my call. And I just wanted to comment unfortunately, I didn't hear all the details of the last caller, but it's really important that we make sure that we exercise due diligence in understanding, digging deeper. And I'll start with the example of Bill Gates and Microsoft. My understanding in digging deeper is that the reason why he has the position and prominence that he has is because he's simply a Rothschild. He is not a computer genius. He did not invent Microsoft, the basis, you know, the operating system and all of that. He's just a shrewd and savvy business person that had the means to do what he does. And apparently Elon Musk is not the brainchild behind Tesla. That's what I've heard. I don't know for sure, but I do know this part I do know is that he is well into AI. He's fathered over a dozen children. And he needs Jesus. And we talked about this. You talked about that. So I would admonish, encourage folks to dig deeper into what other agenda. He's doing some very good things, amazing things. Mm-hmm. But yet, not only does the man need Jesus, but yet, and I say that humbly, you know, God calls us to him. He wants us all to come to know him. And I'm grateful for that happening in my own life. So I don't say that flippantly. I don't, you know, as a church go, you know, that's the solution, right? It is, but at the same time, it will be in God's time, if and when, right? But as far as his other agenda, other things that are going on, there are places, if you go to Thrive Time, a show on Rumble, for example, Clay Clark does a lot of research into the man Elon and presents a lot of good information or helpful information to know a little bit more about that man and what he's up to. And I think we just need to watch that carefully.
Yeah, well, discernment is key. We've talked about that on the program. You know, Rick Scarborough came on and said, you know, as Christians, we are supportive of turning the country back to sanity, to law and order, and putting the blindfold back on Lady Justice, and doing those things that are sound and wise and prudent. Our country was, you know, you can't spend like a drunken sailor forever and ever and ever and not have consequences for that. And so clamping down on government waste and government fraud, those are all things that every Christian should applaud. And but you have to be discerning too. So, you know, you when you eat watermelon, you eat the melon and spit out the seeds. And so we don't just gobble the whole thing down saying, well, it's all good. No, and you're dealing with people that if they don't have faith in Christ, you know, you gotta take that into account. And so their worldview is not going to be a biblical worldview, even though they can see the difference between morality and immorality, right and wrong, law and order. So you're exactly right, Mark. I appreciate the call. We have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Okay, we had Frank. He dropped out. We have Jimmy on the line from Mississippi. Jimmy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Now I'll make mine quick. You spoke on half of what I was going to say, because a lot of folks are saying what Elon fathered children and this or that. But in the Word, God used many people for different things. The whole creation belongs to God. So whoever he used to do what, hey, it's okay. And there's none of us without sin. And on the other side, I just wanted to say, a lot of people are trying to blame the president and Elon for what's happening, but you really can blame the Democrats for really putting all that craziness in good bills, which messed up everybody. So everyone has to pay for all that craziness that they stacked on bills. And I hope right. I'm saying that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you are. And yeah, you're exactly right. And so, you know, I just think discernment is key, and we don't have a lot of that in the church today. We desperately need to ask God to help us discern the difference between good and evil. I keep going back to Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good, kalos, K-A-L-O-S, and evil, kakos, K-A-K-O-S. They're very similar. Those words are one letter off, and that's the way the devil works, to try and confuse us with things that sound right, but they're just a little bit off. Well, Debbie, thanks for being on today.
You're welcome, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Have you missed the microphone?
Yes, actually.
Fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, and I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for your encouragement, and you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org if you have a question or comment. Love to hear from you. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? The Lord will use you as his witness, because that is our job. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.